please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28:1. Picking up our study, last week we saw where God was wanting all the people to verbally say amen to the cursings associated with violation of God's law. And that happened at Mount Ebal in Samaria in Israel. And the people had to, with their mouth, confess, yes, cursed is the one who rejects God. And isn't that true? Everybody that rejects the God of the Bible, rejects his law, is cursed. And today we're going to see in chapter 28, it's going to list all the blessings. If you obey God, our Creator, if you do the things he says to do in your family, in your nation, in your worship of him, then you're going to be blessed. And you can't help but be blessed, because as we've spent these several weeks in the law of Deuteronomy, if a nation decides to do these things in harmony and obedience to their Creator, they're going to be a blessed country. They're not going to be wasting their finances on dealing with law breaking, stealing, murder, pillage, diseases, etc., etc. And they're going to have a handshake is going to be good enough for working with businesses and everything, and there's going to be such a blessing for the country. But then after spending 14 verses on the blessings, he spends the rest of the chapter on all the cursings associated with if we depart from God. And we're going to be seeing those today, some of those today. And you will probably need your Bibles, because the notes, we might not get as far as your notes that have passed out. If we do, then you'll need your Bibles. But in chapter 28, verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth as a witness to the world, which is what he wants to do. We live in a fallen world. That Jesus even said that Satan is the god of this world. He kind of took charge when Adam and Eve listened to him, were deceived and listened to him. So he became the little g god of this world. God still restrains him at times, but he restrains Satan based on what the people are doing. And so that if the nation of Israel is obeying God, God puts a shield about them and protects them and blesses them. If the people depart from God, then God removes his shield and Satan moves in. And the same thing is applied throughout all of history. And he says, if you do what I do, I'll put a shield, and people are going to go, wow, why do those people live in such plenty? Why do they live healthy? Why do they live in love with one another? Why can't you walk in the streets of Israel and you don't get robbed or murdered or mugged? And in our idolatrous nations, we have to fear every day that we go outside the door. Why are they so good? Because they have a good God. They have a good God with a good law. And so if you do this, you'll be a witness. And that can be true to any people. It can be true to your own house. It can be true to our government if we were to be that way. And it used to be America was a light on a hill. People used to look at America, and even a French philosopher, historian came over to find out why does America's revolution result in such blessing? And the French Revolution just ended up with a bunch of people, you know, with bloody guillotines everywhere. And the answer was, America is good because America fears God, because it's great. When it ceases to be good, it's great because it's good. If it ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. And so, are we ceasing to be good? There's still a blessing in this country. And we should be thankful to God that it's still a remnant of the blessings, but we see it rapidly passing away. Every night you turn on the news, you listen to something, and just realize, wow, the things are changing in the country. And why? Here's the true diagnosis. The real reason is we've departed from the God of the Bible. We've departed from his law. People have stopped embracing him or his law. We're going along with the wisdom of the world, and the world's wisdom changes all the time because man decides what's good today is evil tomorrow, what's evil today is evil, you know, what was evil is becoming good. And that's what Isaiah said, is that a nation about to be destroyed is a nation that calls what was good in God's eyes is now evil. And what was evil in God's eyes becomes good. Are we seeing that today? And so when you see that, you know that judgment is very near, which is what we're going to get into in the last part of this Deuteronomy 28. And what do we do about it? We can fret and go crazy, or we can sit there and realize, wow, God said it was going to happen. It is happening. He sent Jesus so that in my life, I did what he wanted me to do. Is I said, God, you are my creator. You are the one I'm in love with. I am going to embrace your Jesus. I am going to embrace your law and let the world do what it's going to do. I'm going to die serving you, loving you. And then I have a promise of everlasting life. And so you can stay at peace, even in the midst of this turmoil, by having that relationship with God. So they were supposed to be a witness people. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. You will safely live, work, raise your family, walk from city to city in total peace. You will have a blessing in the city. Your family will be raised. You'll leave your doors unlocked. You won't be worried about people stealing. Everything will be wonderful. You'll be a blessing. Your people will be blessed in the city. They'll be blessed in the county. And no fear of robbers, murderers, predatory animals, etc. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. God is going to make it so that the crops grow, the bugs don't devour it, the locusts don't come. Probably even miraculously helps the weeds stay down, you know, before Monsanto. You know, who, by the way, we're so blessed with Monsanto getting rid of the weeds and then poisoning all of us in their products and stuff. Or allegedly do that. And so he's saying here, he's promising three things. You will have healthy children. Your family, you'll be having children, and children are a blessing in the eyes of God. Today, it's all twisted to where children are a curse. You know, why are you having children? Even when I was a sailor and talking to the doctors in the Navy, and they were complaining for anybody that had over two children. You know, that was a long time ago. And that's how the college and everybody looks at it, is like people are a curse. Children are a curse. And we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. And the other thing, plentiful crops. You're going to be blessed with plentiful crops. No floods that come and destroy, you know, millions of bushels of wheat and this and that. You're not going to have hurricanes, and you're not going to have all these things that come and destroy your droughts. Livestock will multiply and be plenty and healthy. Those are all gifts from God. God wanted us to have livestock, to have milk, to have meat, to be able to eat in plenty. In fact, what we're going to see here is God is one of the greatest blessings that we really take for granted still, is being able to eat. Do you realize what a blessing it is? And you know what? When you can't eat, you're going to remember what a blessing it was. And the curses, we're going to see much of the curses are all associated with not being able to eat. Because you don't have enough meat. You don't have enough grain. Because there was a drought. Or because the enemy came and took all your food away. Blessed you shall be in the basket in your kneading bowl. Again, QFC, Safeway, Albertsons, shelves are full, you know, in today's world. And you don't need a passport to go in there and buy any of it. And refrigerators, freezers are full, and the pantry is full. I literally am getting to the point where when I walk in, I still see the shelves because there's rumors that it's not going to be that way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, we can still go into the grocery store. Thank you, Jesus, the shelves are still somewhat full. And it wasn't too many months ago. I mean, it's like we couldn't get the stuff for the men's breakfast. They didn't have pre-made hash brown patties, frozen hash brown patties. And I thought, Lord, I thought we weren't going to be in the tribulation. But some of those are coming back. But the day could come where you just go and you're looking at it like it was in the days of commie Russia. Remember, we used to, as Americans, sit there and go, look at the plenty that we have. And the Russians and everything, you would realize they're constantly starving. Their crops are always failing because they are killing millions of their people. And they killed all the Christians and the pastors. And they were saying, this country, Stalin said, we are going to bury God. We're going to take over and communize this place, and we're going to get rid of this archaic God. And God says, oh, really? Pulled his protection away, and they had disaster. And now when the Russian communism went away, and a little bit more God-fearing came, and the Russians actually said, come on, pastors from America, come here and teach our people again the word of God. And they started to get blessed. They're having a bumper crop. Their people have plenty. Their silos are filled. So, blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. No packing mace and heat when you're leaving the home. Remember what that would be? Think about what that would be like. I told Juanita, oh, you're going there. Make sure you have your mace. For the bears. I mean, I'm getting to the point where it's like, okay, when you can't, I don't want you going here, I don't want you going there, because things are getting difficult. But they were able to go and come without any problem. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you and be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. When war comes to you, the enemy will be thoroughly defeated. And at times, when you read the scripture, at times, they don't even do anything. God just said, you know, the King Jehoshaphat comes, God, look at this massive army. And he goes, well, bring all the nation of Israel and just stand on this cliff above the Jordan Valley and watch me wipe them out. And so God just causes the armies, the Edomites, Moabites, to wipe each other out. They just have friendly fire. They decide to just kill each other. And they didn't even have to do anything because he sought God. Because, see, a God-fearing country is ruled by a God-fearing man who wants to go and seek God when there's a need in the nation. Doesn't happen that often anymore, as we all know. And the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land with which your God is giving you. Storehouses full, grain silos full. When we were in Israel, we saw some of the grain storage. They don't have silos. What they made in Israel back in Solomon's day. So we're looking over a granary storage in Solomon's day. And they just dig a huge hole in the ground and they put stairs kind of, you know, going down. And they fill this thing up. It didn't have a cover over it at the time. There must have been in Solomon's day for when it rained, it wouldn't, you know, get the grain. But that just these massive places where the people could just go and scoop up their grain and take it to wherever they needed to go. And all those were going to be full if they were obedient to God. They ended up going empty, as you can see many times, reading through the Kings and the Chronicles when judgment came upon the nation. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. Now circle this for those of you that don't mind writing in your Bibles. If the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, bless you with all these things we've already read, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his way. Not just culturally, because see, this is the curse of our country. There was a lot of God-fearing people that came over here originally. And they wanted their children to know the Bible, the McGuffey readers, etc., all teaching Bible. The people learned the Bible. But then, then we got into the government school systems, and then it started being taken away. And then what was left is a culture of doing things that were right. Culture of saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, to your parents, having respect for authority, not stealing, not committing adultery, and all these other things were kind of a culture. But then the culture can change. If you lose track of why we're doing those things. We're doing those things because God, our Creator, who knows us, told us you must do these things. And there is an enemy of your soul, Satan, and your own fallen flesh that you've inherited from Adam and Eve that you want to do your own thing, that you don't want. You want to decide what's good and evil instead of me, your Creator, deciding what's good and evil. And so then all of a sudden the culture starts to change. And so the only way to restore it back to the blessings of God is we get back to the God who gave the blessings. And I'm saying this with the emphasis, here we are, we've got all of our absentee ballots here in Washington. There's a bunch of candidates and there's a lot of people that are hoping everything is going to turn around with this election, should it even happen. And And what I'm going to say is your pastor, from a biblical perspective, and the God of the Bible who wrote and breathed these words through the apostles and the prophets told us the root cause of the problem. It's not getting conservatives in per se. It's getting God-fearing conservatives in. Because if they're not a God-fearing conservative, that conservative today is a pagan tomorrow. And they can switch on a dime. They can just get into the power politics, the briberies and everything. And if they don't fear God, they're going to take the bribe. If they fear God, they're not going to take a bribe because God says you better not take a bribe to pervert justice or I'm going to deal with you. And so what we need is God-fearing people. And you know what? There's not many of those. Why? Let's say any of you that fears God decided to run and you said, I'm standing on the platform of God's conservative laws, but really I want to just also say that we have to come back to God as our Lord and Savior. We have to come back and recognize God. We have to turn away from the evolutionary lie that we're just mutated pond scum and that we have just evolved to this point where we get to decide what's good and evil and we don't answer anybody. If we don't as a country turn away from the evolutionary lie and worship the God of the Bible, then we're all going to be doomed. How many votes are you going to get? Not many. Why? Because, yeah, we'll all vote for you. If you want to do that, we'll write your name in. But see, that's truly what it would take. That's what it would take to change things. And so we're just, to get somebody that really is conservative for a while is going to be okay. It'll hold things. It's fingers in the dike, but the dike's going to break. It's still going to all fall apart. And, you know, we have from a very reliable source, God's Word, that in the last days that are typified by everything that we're seeing, it does keep going it goes to decay. We are headed to decay. But we should vote. We should find God-fearing people or people that at least are holding on to the laws of God, even though they don't recognize Him, to help maintain peace in our families and wisdom in our culture. But don't put your hope in it. Don't feel like jumping off of a cliff if your guy doesn't get in, because our guy's already in. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's just waiting for the Father to say, "Come and get your children out of here before the disaster comes." And disaster is coming to this world, and God is going to take us out before then. Then all the people, verse 10, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. How could the other nations not be afraid of a country that isn't wasting and squandering all of its monies and resources on sin and rebellion against God? And the people will be afraid. We can't attack them. They're too powerful. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your ground in a land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, and give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Wow. You're not going to have a national debt because you're so rich. Your people are just rich because of the obedience to God's law. Did that ever happen in the Jewish history? Yeah, it sure did. When Solomon was reigning, let's read one more verse and then we'll go to 1 Kings 10:4. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Let's turn to 1 Kings 10:4, where we read about the zenith of Jewish Israel, nation of Israel, combined before the Civil War. Judah, Israel, Samaria, Judea are all united under three different kings. Saul, who was a wicked king, didn't have a relationship with God. Then King David, who was a man after God's own heart, truly feared God. God said, did everything according to my heart except for committing adultery with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah the Hittite, which he repented of. And he repented from something and received the grace of God in a way that made him spend the rest of his life wanting with all of his fervor to serve God. And you see the same thing in the New Testament with Paul. Paul hated Christians, thought he was doing a favor to God to kill Christians and to imprison them. And then he realized, whoa, I've sinned against God. And he realized that he had persecuted the church to death. And what did he spend the rest of his life doing? Wanting to serve God with every ounce of his being. And that's why we have such an example for Paul. Formerly Saul of Tarsus. Well, King Solomon, he picks up where David had made wealth, prosperous wealth in the country of Israel. Solomon comes, and the first thing he does is he goes to God and he goes, God, I need wisdom. My dad was ruling. I'm now taking over. I need great wisdom. And God says, okay, because you didn't ask for the heads of all your enemies, and you didn't ask for wealth, I'm going to give you wisdom. And he had great wisdom, except for he disobeyed God later on in life. He married foreign women against the law. Heaped into himself private wealth against the law. Heaped to himself horses against the law. And as a result, it says later in his life, he says the foreign women caused his heart to turn away from God and they started making idols in the country. He made idols for his wives of the different nations. Put them up in Israel that stayed till the very end when Israel was being destroyed. And here's the lesson learned. We can walk and serve Jesus, and it is a lifelong battle, a lifelong endeavor. You can't let the world come into your life. And the world's trying to get into our life in so many amazing ways today. And the only way to keep it out sometimes is going to be just like living like an Amish person, to just say, I'm not going to be involved in this area of the corruption of this world in ways that people are going to think you're nuts. So, but this is what it was when it was really great, is the Queen of Sheba, just like what Deuteronomy 28 says, the other nations of the world are going to go, wow, those Jews. So the Queen of Sheba, Yemen, Ethiopia today, came to go see Solomon's wealth because she had heard about it. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. It would have been, when you read the Bible about Solomon's temple and his houses and how he made the temple just completely clad in gold, and you would have been seeing a wonder of the world. It would have been just so freakish for people coming from a different land and seeing the unbelievable wealth and prosperity and wisdom of King Solomon. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." I'm reading about something a long time ago, emotional, because it used to, in a way, a much smaller way, apply to our country. The thing that I think grieves me the most is just how much we've lost justice. How people, if they're of the right persuasion of evil, they can get away with anything. They can get them dead to rights, criminals, perjurers, liars, murderers, and they just walk and nothing happens to them. And it's all because the only way justice is maintained is because people fear the God who demanded justice. As soon as we turn away from that, then it just completely collapses. And we can't even appreciate how much justice plays a part in the peace and tranquility and the joy of a country. But And see, Solomon threw it all away. I mean, that's what he had. And he threw it all away. And immediately when he dies, his self-centered punk kid destroys the nation by listening to his buddies that probably just like, hey man, we're the king's son friends, and they probably got spoiled around the king's palace and everything, and they destroy the place. Just like that. Destroy it. And we're kind of surprised how quickly we're deteriorating. Imagine king dies, son takes over, within 1 month there's civil war and the destruction of the country. And not only that, but then even Egypt comes up and starts to steal stuff from the temple and Jerusalem. And so don't be surprised if things even get quicker here. Don't be surprised if things rapidly fall apart in this corrupted world that's departing from God, this corrupted country. We're setting up idols in this country. Bad things are going to happen. 28:14, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. What does the Bible say is behind every idol? Demons. And what do? They bring death, destruction, misery, murder, lies. And are we turning away from God and turning into lies, turning towards lies, demons, you know, behind the idols of the things of this world. So this is the end of the blessings, 14 verses of blessings. No deviation, however slight. Should we make that a passion of ours? God, I want to raise our family, and I want whatever you say is evil, my children are going to learn it's evil. Whatever you say is good, my children are going to learn what's good. And more than that, they're going to see me embracing it the same way as I'm asking them to. It's not going to be what's good for thee is not good for me. Or, you know, I get to do something different like the government does. And just not, we're not going to turn to the right or left. Well, it's going to cost us. We might not be able to get schooling. We might not be able to get a loan. You might be able to not be able to do it. In fact, I was going to mention this one handout. I forgot. It's the China doubles down on COVID. Some have had enough. I'll do it here in the study instead of announcements. In China today, COVID was used to get the jab. The jab was used to get vaccine passports and set up phone apps that are completely implemented throughout China. That every day you wake up, oh, I'm green today. That means you can still shop. That means you can still go out of your house. And if it flips red, that's because your phone knew that you were close to somebody else's phone who tested positive for COVID. So they're going around completely. Contact tracing is completely solidified in China. But also in China, their economy is collapsing. The banks are having troubles. People wanted to go get money out of their bank recently. And the bank says, oh, we're having technical problems. Come back tomorrow. Tomorrow is next week, next month. They're not getting their money. And so the people on their social apps, you know, let's protest on this day outside the bank. They all turned red. So they all turned red, all these people that were going to protest with social networking, artificial intelligence, snooping what you're thinking, saying, and writing, is now saying, oh, you just got quarantined, dude. You must have been around somebody with COVID. No, I wasn't around anybody with COVID. Well, you're going to be quarantined anyway. Decide to leave your home and your phone at your home, go outside with hundreds of millions of cameras all over China that they've already demonstrated with 60 Minutes kind of interviews, that if you become an enemy of the state, they just tell the computer, go find this guy, and you're found within minutes in China. Because as soon as you go by a camera that face recognitions you and you're on the list of somebody to be tagged, then the police are there to put you in jail. So the technology today could make it so that, oh, you're a Christian? You go to church? Don't you know that's outlawed? Don't you know it's outlawed to take this stance? Don't you know that you can't do this and this? And they could turn you red. Which is the kingdom of the Antichrist is described by the Bible, that there's going to be a man able to determine whether or not you can buy or sell anything. And it's the system is already here. It just hasn't gotten to the point yet. It's there in China. And how hard is it going to be for China to export that to America? all it is computer algorithms. Here it is. It's the same Facebook and everything else, social networking. They're already databasing what everybody does, how often you show up at this place, not to say don't show up at this place. but they know you. And as soon as they make edicts that you're not allowed to be a Christian or have any convictions of God, they can mess with you. And then teach your family right now. Though none go with us, still we're going to follow. Though we get locked up, we don't care. I mean, they're not feeding us to the lions yet. They're not putting us into the Colosseums with gladiators. They're not crucifying us on crosses. They're not burning us on the stake. And that's what the early church did. And so we have to realize we're going to worship this Jesus no matter what. Amen. Because the amazing blessing is at the end of that is eternal life. And all of the blessings and the tears are all wiped away. So, and if we deviate, the devil gets his foot in the door of our homes or even my life. He can get his foot in. And you know what? Once that little toe's in, next thing it's the leg, it's the body, and we have to just keep them out. And so that's what God was saying. If we truly don't turn to the right or to the left, we're going to be blessed. So, where do you think the people in America are in this? Again, this is a litmus test to help not get too depressed about the elections. How many of your friends could name the Ten Commandments, do you think? Even one of them, or two of them? We see Ray Comfort going on the streets of California all the time and asking people, you know, can you name one of the Ten Commandments? What are those? what are the Ten Commandments? Oh, could you name all the members of your football team? Oh yeah, blam, 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 blam. Name 10 of your favorite beers. Boom, 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 boom. Can you mend, what about the Ten Commandments that gone in America? In fact, my worship team was talking about how it worked this last week. There was two people talking about the water that came out of the rock. Do you remember where that was? Exodus. And another person came to join, and everybody else, what are you talking about, water coming out of a rock? None of the entire rest of the office had a clue what that was talking about. If you don't have a clue, you need to read Exodus. You need to find out. See, the thing is there is a famine of the knowledge of the Word of God in our land. A complete famine. They don't know. They don't know what God has said. And why? Because the church hasn't really helped them get to know. Where's your church in this? think of all the churches. Dial them in. You know, people say, Kevin, I listen to this and this and this, and that's why I don't go fellowship anywhere. And that's even, and I rebuke them no matter where they're at. Because that is not church. Listen to someone on TV is not church. But when you do listen to them, when do they talk about, you get right with God, that God declares this and this sin. He declares that this needs to be repented of. You need to walk in a holy life. And I only emphasize that because we go through the Bible. We go through the Bible verse by verse. You can't avoid it if you go verse by verse through the Bible. But that's not happening in the pulpits in America. And how many people in America accept that God is our creator? That they even believe in creation? And most people do not. And how many people have even read a single book of the Bible? Very few. And I just hope, and I preach, and I pray for all of you, that there would be something that would stir up in your hearts, if it isn't already, that I want to read the Word of God. I just want to read it. I want to put off all the other distractions and make sure that I'm reading the Word of God. Because if you do, you're going to be blessed. The first 14 verses are going to apply. Because mixed with the Holy Spirit, because you're saved, it's going to give you a mind of Christ. And you're going to see things every time you read it. You're going to see something you didn't see last time. And you're going to realize that's the power of God working in me. So the rest of the chapter is curses. And so I've had people tell me that they feel like the way things are going in this country, they feel like it's like the Twilight Zone. Have any of you heard anybody tell you that? It's like, this place is going so crazy. Remember the lead into the Twilight Zone? I made my own little lead in. Now we're traveling through another dimension, not only of sight and sound, but of mind and soul. A journey into the cursed land whose boundaries are defined by the extent of the rebellion against the Creator. Your next stop, the cursed zone. So if you don't like negative preaching, then you might want to, you know, you're used to Joel Osteen, your better days are ahead, nothing's a problem and everything else, then this is not going to be for you, and I won't be offended if you walk out right now. But, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. You know, I had to drive down to Tacoma on Friday, and I literally did MapQuest. Oh, I'm going into the really bad part of Tacoma. A place where Winnie and I, with the kids, I didn't find out whether we were about to get robbed, because we jumped in the car just before these two, you know, these guys spotted us, they start coming, we're coming, and I told the family, we gotta get in right now. We were over by Spaghetti Factory, and as soon as we jumped in the car, they were like, oh, I guess we weren't quick enough. So, and that was years ago. That was years and years ago. Now it's really, have you driven downtown Tacoma lately? Oh man. And I knew I was going, I knew it had to be bad. And I just prayed, Lord Jesus, just, you're gonna have to protect me, and I'm gonna have to be wise. I'm gonna have to think about my surroundings. Think about what I'm doing. And by the grace of God, he protected me and got done with what I needed to do. And I've had a state patrol guy here that he's retired. He has current state patrol people go, please tell anybody you know and care about, don't go to Seattle. It's getting that way. So we're cursed in the cities. And just news a couple days ago, bands of young people are taking out people in Walmart parking lot in Lakewood. And they have the security cameras showing this lady, she's just walking back to her car, and they just grab her, get her down on the ground. She's fighting them for the purse and the keys to the car, and so they just smack this older lady in the face while she's down on the ground. Grab her keys, get into her car. She gets back up, tries to keep them from driving away by jumping onto the hood and grabbing the windshield wipers, and they then sped off and blasted her off by taking a sharp turn. Goes rolling off on the pavement, and then they kept on coming back to do it to other people. And their older guy's just getting into his car. And you see it again on the security camera. And he's just walking, thinking he's just leaving Walmart to get to his car. And they just jump him after his door is open. They just jump him, pound him, and take his keys and take the car away. And that's happening all over the country. It's not just in Lakewood. I mean, it's just down south of Tacoma. And let me make a prediction. It's going to get worse. It is truly going to get to the point where you're going to kiss your spouse on the morning. I'm going to work today, I think, and I'll come home tonight, I think. Because you'll be cursed to go and cursed to come back. And we're going to have to, just like we thank Jesus for our food, because someday we might not get food. Thank you, Jesus, for being able to, that I can go out, and Lord, you have to protect me today. And you have to give me wisdom in that protection as well, about what I should do for me and my family, etc. You know, people jogging on country, oh, it's safe in the country. Oh, really? A lot of people are finding out that that's not safe. We are truly getting to be like pagan nations, where nothing is safe for the people. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Let's turn to 2 Kings 6:28. This is just the first of many verses that emphasize that food, lack thereof, is part of the curse that will fall upon a country that departs from God. And I pull this off of the USDA.gov. All wheat stored in all positions on March 1st, 2022, totaled 1.02 billion bushels, down 22% from a year ago. And that's stored in silos and at farmers' locations. February indicated, so February 22 indicated disappearance of 353 million bushels, 10% below the same period earlier, the year earlier. Durum wheat stocks, do you know Durum is where they make gluten-free stuff, I guess. And so it's another kind of wheat that they're making. That's way down. And, you know, we're hearing that there's going to be food shortages. Only God knows what's really going to happen, but everything's down. And see, according to the Word of God, a nation that completely rebels against Him, slaughters their own children, all the other things that we've talked about, going to talk about, it keeps getting worse. Because these are like salvos. It's like you send your kid off to college and you say, look, if you stay sober, if you stay in all your classes, you get A's and B's and all this, then I will help provide for you. If you don't, and so then the kid, you get a report that you got to see what happened there. You call up and you go, oh, there's truancy. You're not showing up to class. Okay, I'm not going to pay for your tuition anymore. And then you find out, oh, got a DUI, been out partying, get a DUI. Okay, now I'm not going to pay for your rent anymore. And then you find out that they're just dropping out of school and they say, okay, you're not getting any inheritance. See, these curses are just like this and then this and then this and then this. And it's all supposed to make the student repent and get back to doing what he was supposed to. But what usually happens is they just get harder and harder and harder. Are we seeing, with all the inflation, all the crime, all the things that are going on in this country that even leftists realize it's not nice like it used to be, do they feel like repenting? Do they feel like turning to God? Do they feel like, you know, turning away from their wickedness and their evil? They double down. That proves there's something spiritual and demonic about what's going on. Because a normal person doesn't like bad things to happen. So, cursed you should be in your basket or in your bowl. We averted a national rail transport shutdown. But because they still haven't got a contract, they're going to say that on November 19th, okay, if they shut down the rail system because of a labor strike with the rail workers union, we're going to be able to thank Jesus a lot more for the food when it does come, because our food is rail, and they're thinking of shutting it down. So now 2 Kings, the background of 2 Kings is that there has been the civil war after Solomon. The northern 10 tribes, they start idolatry immediately. They worship a golden calf in the north part of the country and the south part of the country. They depart from God in every way. They kill the prophets. They commit abominations against God. And now wicked Ahab and Jezebel, they both rule with extreme wickedness. Ahab's son takes over Jehoram. They are being oppressed by the Syrian army that is coming to surround the city of Samaria and to put a siege on it so the people can't have food. And the city is completely run out of food. I mean, all the grocery stores are empty. Everything is gone. They've surrounded Samaria, and because Ahab was the king of the north, their capital is Samaria, surrounded Samaria. It happens in Jerusalem as well, later on with the Babylonians, but this is about Samaria. Then the king, Jehoram, son of Ahab and Jezebel, said to her, this woman, what is troubling you? Because she said, king, king, you got to listen to me. Oh, what's wrong? Well, she answered, this woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. You know, like, come on, king. Make her cough up her son so that we can kill him and boil him and eat him. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. Now, what does that mean? Help me out here. What did they go, whoa, King Jehoram has sackcloth underneath his clothes. They went, ah. That means sackcloth was a Jewish way of repentance. It was a Jewish way of fasting in sackcloth. I'm already fasting. He's saying, I'm already fasting. Might as well sackcloth. It's like burlap. It's like wearing burlap. It's very uncomfortable, and it makes you uncomfortable to realize I'm uncomfortable because of the consequences of my life. And so you think he's going to repent, right? No, then he said, God do so to me and more also if the head of Elijah, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. He blames the Christians. So here's this demoniac that as, because he's rejected God, is suffering the consequences, the curses that's promised in the book of Deuteronomy. And when there is complete starvation in the city, he blames Elijah, who has been a prophet to the nation of Israel, to tell them to repent, to get right with God, and that these judgments are going to come upon them if they don't get right with God. And he doubles down on, I'm going to kill him. And God, in his great mercy, protects Elijah from being killed. And Elijah tells the king, tomorrow there's going to be plenty of food in Samaria. And so Elisha says, there'll be plenty of food. And they just go, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way that there's going to be plenty of food. And what God does is causes the Syrian army to hear things and to get in fear. And miraculously, they go running away so that the Jews in Samaria have a chance to live. These wicked, evil Jewish people with a wicked king who is, you know, the son of a wicked, wicked king and his mom, and bringing all this destruction and cursing, and God says, you know what, I'm going to show my mercy to you, you get to eat. And of course they repented. And they went back to following God. They got rid of the golden calf in Bethel and Dan. No, that's not what happened. They just kept on going. And we have to keep this in mind, that once a people have leaders in charge that are demoniacs and are evil and wicked and they get in power, then they take the country in a position that it doesn't matter what happens. They hate the Christians. They hate the people that fear God. And no matter what kind of judgment they suffer, what kind of grace and mercy they have from God to not be wiped out, they don't repent and turn back to God. And so I don't have much hope because the demoniacs are in charge. We're repeating history. The godless, the evil, the wicked are in charge. Going back to Deuteronomy 28:17, and cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, inability to have children. Is that happening today? Now, whatever, don't be listening to conspiracy theorists saying that there's an explosion of miscarriages that are happening in our country, in the world. Inability for, you know, increased difficulty of getting pregnant. Decrease of sperm counts of men. Don't be thinking any of that has to do with anything that the government forced upon the world, because it's has nothing to do with that, because YouTube will tell you that. And so some of these curses can be from God. They were from God in the days of the Old Testament. God can use evil, wicked people to have the mindset that we want to exterminate hundreds of millions of people to reduce the population for Mommy Earth's sake, to bring, and without any conscience of what they do. And we're seeing some of these things happen in our culture. Why, I don't know, but they're happening. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body because of STDs. And then we'll close with this thought, because this is really the biggie. And it goes along with the election that's now before us. Because they sacrificed their children to Molech, the nation of Israel would reach a point where we don't want children. We hate children. What causes that to happen? Satan. Satan says children bad. They would worship sex. They would worship the gods of sex. The result of those would be dedicated to Moloch. We call it abortion today. And it's an abomination to God to do that. And so consider this last week, that a woman running for governor of the state of Georgia told her constituents in the nation, actually being interviewed, that, you know, these people, these women that go around and complain about the price of food going up in their house, the problem is that they had children, that they can't abort them now freely anywhere in the country because of the Roe v. Wade turnover. And so she said exactly this, but let's be clear, having children is why you're worried about your prices for gas, your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs, Abrams said. Now, she said that to get votes. And is there hope for a nation where, if that happens to be true, if she says that and she gets votes and she becomes the governor of Georgia in a Bible Belt state, then does everybody realize there's no hope? It's all over. Well, Kevin, you know, they rigged the elections last time, they'll rig them this time. Of course they didn't rig the elections. YouTube will tell you that. So, but even if they tried to rig the elections, they would have to send absentee ballots to every cat, dog, and pay them to vote. Because there should be nobody. There should be nobody, if there was any fear of God in the state of Georgia, a Bible Belt, with churches on every corner, there should be no chance for somebody to glorify killing babies for the sake of your pocketbook. There should be no chance for her to do that. We'll see what happens. Journalist Peter Doocy of Fox asked Biden's press secretary, quote, "In Georgia, the president's endorsed candidate for governor, Stacey Abrams, is suggesting that one way to mitigate the effects of inflation is to get an abortion. Does President Biden agree?" And his press secretary said she was unaware of the Stacey quote and wasn't going to respond. So we have, you know, we do realize that the Democratic platform is kill the babies, embrace evolution, there is no God, eradicated any mention of God from any platform within the Democratic Party, all in on transvestites, homosexuality, everything evil, sex outside of marriage, all that stuff is just like, that's thumbs up. And so here's the deal. And I've heard other people say it. If for some reason you feel like voting for somebody that stands for that, then here's my warning to you. You're cursed. You don't know Jesus. Because you can't say, I love Jesus and I want to kill babies. Now, I know that some of you might have killed babies. You might have been involved with killing babies. But a true Christian goes, yes, I did, and I was evil and wicked in the sight of God. And I am so glad Jesus died on the cross for my sins, because I can be forgiven like that, just from that, just like David was forgiven, because he came humbly to God and said, God, against you and you only have I sinned, and I come before you, renew a right spirit in me, and I will follow you and worship you. And so you can be forgiven. But you have to agree with God to be a Christian. You have to agree with what God says. And here's another interesting thing. And pray for Stacey Abrams. She is deceived by Satan. And we're talking Wednesday because they're doing the pavement here. We had Wednesday down at the Port Orchard waterfront. It was kind of a homeless guy. He wouldn't give us his address. Maybe because it was changing every night. But he acted homeless. And he acted insane. What the world would call insane. But what could very possibly have been a demonic spirit in charge of his life. Spencer was trying to witness to him. I was trying to witness to him. Others were as well. And he knows Bible, but he's just like, he's all over the map, just totally messing up. Like, I've talked to demoniacs before where that's what they do. They just have Bible knowledge, but they just are all over the map, make no coherent communication about it. And you can tell that they're anti-God. And so Spencer was walking him through the Ten Commandments, and because he was saying he's a good person, as everybody does. And he says, so have you lied? Yes. What does that make you a liar? And then he said, have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? He goes, yes. And then Spencer switched to what Ray Comfort teaches us to switch to. Do you have anybody, do you love your parents? Yeah, I love my parents. So you love your parents? Yeah, I love my parents. I love Stacey Abrams. And I was thinking, what is this homeless guy? Why is he in love with, loving Stacey Abrams from Georgia that wants to kill babies and stuff? I mean, I doubt he's watching TV or knows what the news is or anything. And so he said, yeah, I love Stacey. Because then the idea is, would you use your mom's name in vain if you loved your mom? And the answer is no. Well, see, why are you using God's name in vain? If you're supposed to love God, why would you use God's name in vain? You wouldn't do it for your mom. You'd do it with Jesus. And I say all that to say that Dwayne Howe, a missionary to the Amazon jungle, ministered there for decades, dealt with demonic possession frequently. At one time, he was dealing with a possession. This is on our website. You can go to Topical Studies. Dwayne Howe talking about demon possession in the Amazon and missionary. And it was from many, many years ago, but I gave it an earlier date, so it shows up closer on the topical at the top. And there was another guy and Dwayne, and they're praying for this demoniac hours. They're just praying for him. And the demons are speaking out from him. What's your name? Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee, and so Dwayne didn't know who it was. This Amazon demoniac doesn't know who Bruce Lee is. But the guy that was with, he's saying Bruce Lee. So Bruce Lee delved deeply into the occultic world, was probably possessed, probably gave him some of the powers that he had that mesmerized people. I mean, just like unbelievable. And so the demon of Bruce Lee, who's now dead, it's down in Brazil in the Amazon jungle. What's your name? Bruce Lee. And I, when he said that, the second, going back to the guy that was down at the waterfront, as soon as he said that, I go, man, oh man, I wonder if the demon inside of him appreciates the demon inside of Stacey Abrams, because the demons hate us. They hate our culture. They hate our country. Stacey Abrams stands for everything that is contrary to God's word and would destroy the state of Georgia and help destroy the country, because that's what Satan does. But they're going to succeed in doing this all over the world. They're going to succeed in destroying nation states because the world is headed towards a 10-nation global empire. That's what the Bible says. But it's because it's all going to happen, not because God wants it to, but because the entire world is rejecting the God of the Bible. The whole world is rejecting Jesus. So the whole world is being cursed, and the whole thing is going down, except we're going up to be with Jesus. And we might have some tough times. There might be tough times that come before he takes us home, but our mind is going to be stayed on him. Our trust and hope is going to be upon him. And we're going to be so thankful to the blessings that we still have, because they are truly from God, a very merciful God who is tolerating us even in these wicked days. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that we would all be warned in the inner man and woman, and even the young people that are here, that this is really your word is the truth. And every soul on this planet is deciding to walk down the road of blessings or cursings. And God, we thank you that you've made a way, opened up the gate to the road of blessing through your Son, Jesus, dying on the cross for our sins. God, help us to just so fall in love with that and that mercy and grace upon us, so that we could be like King David, we could be like Paul, we could be all in every way, truly serving you until you come to take us home. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart.
Taken again from King David confessing to God that he was a sinner. And we just say, God, forgive us a sinner and create a new heart. And that's what he's been doing for every true believer in this room since the day you did, sanctifying us, setting us apart. And if you're not a believer, oh, get right with Jesus while you can. Get your heart truly in love with him. If you want to pray with somebody, I'm going to be up here and you can pray to receive Jesus as your Savior. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.